Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 37, fourth paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd. One paragraph only, and the comments will be on that paragraph. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Eileen M., 12 Traditions, Judy M.,
what that guy calling a
butt
call?
One second,
Kathy,
let me get
P, Robin P., and Darian K. And our newcomer greeter is Nan K., and announcements is Janice P. M. Nope, the readers of the, the readers of the text, I did that. Kathy, Joe P., Robin P., and Darian K. I got interrupted myself. The share ID for Wednesday, July 3rd, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,112, that's 13112, and for today's meeting is 13,000, hang on here, I didn't write it down, it's 13,114, or 13114. Okay, Overeaters Anonymous, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Eileen M. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from New Hampshire. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the cares of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Eileen M., and I will now ask Judy M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Great. Hi, this is Judy M. calling from Florida, and I am a happily recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Judy M. How our meeting works. You're welcome. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months.
I'm a compulsive masturbator as well as a compulsive overeater. Is that allowed or do I have to go to a different meeting?
This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big...
Sorry, could you answer the question there? That was very rude.
What's the question? Thank you. All right, let me see where I was. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's pressing star 1, not the mute button on your phone, please. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 37, the fourth paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd, and we're reading through that one paragraph only, which goes on to page 38. And I will now ask Kathy Jo P. to get us started this morning. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Our behavior is as absurd as and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink as that of an individual with a passion, say for jaywalking. He gets a thrill out of skipping in front of fast-moving vehicles. He enjoys himself for a few years in spite of friendly warnings. Up to this point, you would label him as a foolish chap, having queer ideas of fun. Luck then deserts him, and he is slightly injured several times in succession. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. Presently, he is hit again, and this time has a fractured skull. Within a week after leaving the hospital, a fast-moving trolley car breaks his arm. He tells you he has decided to stop jaywalking for good, but in a few weeks, he breaks both legs. All right, so I've used this analogy before, but I believe that our disease is similar to like when we're trying to keep mice out of our house. We had this problem when we bought our house, and I even got an exterminator who came out, put out poison, stuffed stuffing and foam in different spots around the foundation of our house. And no matter what we did, those dang mice kept sneaking in. And I feel like that can be similar and related to my disease. Because my disease, whether it is what I eat or what I do, loves to sneak in. So every day I have this protocol that I do in keeping clean with my food, keeping in touch with my food, and with my behaviors, my character defects, that get me back to God so I don't end up as the jaywalker. I'm going to use the words flat on my rear. And I believe that that's where I kept ending up. And I kept wanting to think it was not that big of a deal. And here, what's insinuated is that the jaywalker is having fun doing it. And my disease wanted me to think it was fun. That if I could make food fun or make my character defects fun, that maybe I would be okay. But every single time I ended up flat on my rear. And the ambulances would come. The troops would come. You know, the ambulances with all my spiritual helpers, my body workers, my chiropractor, my nutritionist, my friends, my family, wanting to help me as I'm in the road with broken limbs. But I would get up and brush myself off and say, I'm okay, I can do this. I'm going to be okay. I can go out to eat and eat a little extra. I can sneak into Disneyland and pretend like my kids are California residents and get a discount. But now, a day at a time, I have to be clean as a whistle. And I'm not running into the road and hoping that I don't get hit. I'm not sneaking in the back door like the mice are, trying to hope that I'll be okay by being dishonest with my food or my behaviors. Because it doesn't work anymore, and guess what? It's not fun. There are many people on the line that have talked about anytime I get music in my mouth, I'm not looking for that anymore. I can't have that. And for me, that included, I love the word dessert here. Luck then deserts him. I'm not looking for a dessert. I'm not looking for a thrill on Blueberry Hill with my food or my behaviors. I've said it before, but when I go to a place and I try on clothes, I hang them up. If somebody left stuff in there before me, I hang it up because I'm trying to clean up from what I did in the past. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks a million.
And thank you, Kathy Jo, for getting us started. I'll remind everybody where we are. We're on page 37, starting the fourth paragraph, Our Behavior is as Absurd, and reading that one paragraph only. And who would like to share?
Charles H.
Charles.
Sarit Arias.
Sarit.
Bruce E.
Who was after Sarit and then Bruce?
Lynn S.
Lynn, I got you, Lynn.
Maya K.
Maya K. And who was after Maya?
Elaine T.
Elaine T. We'll stop there. Yeah. All right, I have Charles H., Sarit L., Lynn S., Bruce E., Maya K., and Elaine T. All right, Charles, get us started. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. I believe this is Mo. I don't really
it
come
is.
On a West. Hey, Mo, thank you for your service. You're a loyal and humble servant. Thank you very much for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I want to take it apart from a physical standpoint. The later part of this first paragraph, this paragraph where it says he's talking about, I want to talk about the body. He breaks both legs, the jaywalker I'm talking about. He breaks his arms and he has a fractured skull. You know, I could they say the illustration. You may think it's crazy, but it fits. I could just so identify with just doing that, right? This illustration of hurting my body, you know, hurting my body. You know, you hear a lot in Overeaters Anonymous of thin body. I don't want to attack that and destroy that for the newcomer or somebody that thinks that you got to be thin ain't healthy, just like healthy ain't, like heavy ain't healthy. It's definitely not healthy to have a thin skull. You know, we can't take anything personal in Overeaters Anonymous, and we have to accept different people's mindsets and theories that come on a line. But this is all about the mental obsession. This is all about enjoyment. You know, it talks about he enjoyed it, right? Can you identify with enjoyed compulsive overeating until, you know, the ramifications start to take manifest? They start to appear in our lives, right? And then, you know, when this just reminds me of, in the doctor's opinion, where, I can't even say that because the classification one, he was emotionally unstable. The guy that's talking about next Monday, he ain't even ready to talk about, but he was abstinent, right? And made another decision to fracture his skull, break his arms, and then break both legs. And then what happens after that? He loses his family. He loses people that in his life. And it's just insane. It's still insanity, repeating the same things and expecting different results. He's going to die. He's going to die just like the man of 30. He's going to die just like Jim. I never heard what happened to Jim, but I don't want that. I'm on the phone. Hold on. Give me a second. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. So, so with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charles, for getting us started. Sarit L., followed by Lynn S. Sarit, good morning.
Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service. It's Sarit L. So grateful to be on the line live today over the summer break. So, do I identify with this jaywalker? Yes. I mean, it's people, you know, it is definitely a ridiculous illustration, but I am ridiculous when it comes to the food. I have queer ideas of fun. I think that, you know, trying to mix milk in my whiskey, you know, is fun. It's like all the concoctions that I've come up with and in my mind that I can do it this time, you know, if I just have a little bit of this or a little bit of that, or if I just not measure the apple today, I'll be okay, you know, and the not measuring of that one slice of apple took me into that, you know, maybe it started off with then a banana and then some salted nuts and then some peanut butter and then some cake. And then the binge is just, off, you know, I'm off and running into the binge. And it speaks about on that's in the top of the paragraph, he's slightly injured several times in succession, just slightly. You know, while he's having fun, he's slightly injured. And did I notice that I was being injured slightly while I was in the food? I would cry every Saturday night and just beg my higher power at that point. Like, I'm going to put the food down. Please help me. And then, you know, Sunday, if I didn't starve on Sunday, Monday was, I was off and running again in the food. And that was awful. Like Monday, I was supposed to be thin again. I would get on the scale every Friday and every Monday. I was supposed to be thin by Monday so I could fit into my clothes for school, for work. And it says, you know, within a week after leaving the hospital, fast moving trolley car breaks his arm. That's within a week. And then the next paragraph, I'm just looking ahead, it says, but the day he comes out, he races in front of a fire engine. So we see the progressive nature of the disease. And for me, it used to be when I was young and anorexic, it used to be a week of time that I can hold out and not ingest those foods, the flour and the sugar. And then it was a day, and then it was an hour. And I couldn't hold out for a minute. I had to finish everything. And it's the same as we see in Bill's story, where first he's eating, it's fun, and he's idealistic, and then it becomes a luxury, you know, and then from a luxury it becomes a necessity, and then it's not fun anymore, and it's not a necessity anymore. It's eating for oblivion. And I was at the point where I couldn't even clean up my own house without taking food from one room putting it in my mouth to get me to put the clothing in, you know, away in the drawers in the other room. I had to have food always. And so we see, like, the day he comes out, it's not a week later. It's immediately. And how long can you hold out? Like, that was for me the defining factor, and helped me to get me to that first step. I that was my bottom. I couldn't hold out longer than a minute. And thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Sarit L. Lynn S., followed by Bruce E. Lynn.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. This line is really speaking to me. You would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. And isn't that the whole point? Isn't it truly? I'm not normal when it comes to food. I'm not normal when I'm lying in bed 140 pounds overweight, crying because I'm so lonely. And somebody phones me and says, Lynn, would you like to go out? Would you like to go to a show? And I look at the bed beside me, which is loaded with cheesecake and chips and God knows what, bagels and butter, let's just say. And I'm ever so lonely. And I look at the food and I listen to the person on the phone and I say, oh, you know, I'd really like to. I'm sorry, but I've got plans with somebody else. And then hang up. And there I am, lying in bed, so lonely, so sad, and stuffing myself with food because I can't stand the pain of living life on life's terms. And it just struck me, and I'll never forget being on a bench in downtown Toronto with the AA 12 and 12 in my hand and reading step one and hearing about it's not my fault. I have a disease, and it's physical, and it's emotional, and it's spiritual in nature, and there was a way out. And I remember thinking, thank you, God, it's not my fault. All of this crazy, crazy behavior isn't my fault, and there's a way out. I am so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. Bruce E., followed by Maya K. Good morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you. Thanks, everybody on the line. There is a way out. There is. So how long did it take me to get from when it was a thrill? He gets a thrill out of it. How long did it take me to start, you know, to get from that thrill to where I broke both legs? Well, not too long. The thrill is gone. The thrill has gone. So started out, it was a real thrill. Now I get a real high off of two or three peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and piece of cake and stuff like that. I get a real buzz off of it. I had a real thrill. But I remember when I first started out, went with my roommate out to dinner, and they put the bread basket down there, and my roommate gets up, goes to the bathroom, comes back four or five minutes later, and I cleared the bread basket. There's no bread in the basket. Says, my God, what happened to the bread in the basket? What are you talking about? You know, it wasn't any big deal to me. He says, man, why don't you have some self-control? I thought, the thrill was there. But then it started to leave me. And first I could exercise it off, or I could diet it off. And wouldn't it be that big a deal? And I could get the thrill, and then I could diet, or I could exercise, and then get the thrill back again. But then the thrill went away because I couldn't get a handle on this thing. Eventually, I broke the two legs. I guess it took maybe a couple years before I broke both legs, maybe two or three years, something like that. And then my legs were broken, and then I went on to break my back. And I had to have a lot of pain. There had to be a lot of pain before I finally realize that I couldn't do it myself. So the thrill was there. Then I tried to do it myself. Then there was all the pain. Then I finally realized that I couldn't do it myself. I had to have help. Went somewhere. Woman directed me to OA and got in the program. Found out I couldn't do it. So first in the program, though, I still tried to do it myself. And then I kept relapsing in the program. And then finally got into Vision, got a sponsor, started working the steps, and got recovered. So I'm recovered now in North Carolina. Appreciate being on the line. No, the thrill isn't going to come back again because I broke the legs and the back.
Time.
But that's okay. Thank you, Mo, and I passed.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. Maya K., followed by Elaine T.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is Maya, recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Rockland County. I can totally relate to this paragraph, trying to outwit, you know, the disease. And still, I still try to, you know, find ways to, I find myself trying to be sloppy and get away with things. And even in my thinking, I went through like a, recently trying to, like a dark period where this like justified anger came up. And I just went to some meetings, really went to a lot of meetings. And the big book just really, somebody pointed out, you know, to pray for these people. And it just melted all of that darkness away. And it just lightened everything up. And it was like the, just like the food, it just, you know, it just caused me problems. This it's like justified eating or something, justified anger. It just, the program really works. It's the only thing that ever helped me, because left to my own devices, with food, I wasn't safe from myself. You know, I had to be locked up, and I felt like the minute I was set free, I was going to kill myself with food or my emotions, or, you know, it was just awful. And, you know, thank God for the program, and it's really the only thing that's ever helped me with any of my food problems. And you know, I see it try to I see myself try to rationalize with food or with my thinking, and all the answers I find in the big book, I just immerse myself more in meetings and the big book, and I find the answers, you know. And it's just an amazing program, the steps, and just being rigorously honest with myself. I find that, you know, rationalizing is rational lies, you know. It's I just need to be honest, and the more honest I am, I find the clearer things are. I'm definitely like that paragraph, you know. Oh, I can just do this, and it's okay, a little of that, a little of this, or, you know, the cleaner I am with my actions, my thinking, my food, you know, the better I am, the better I feel. And that feels really good. And if I can do more of that, like really just pray in the morning, like it says, on my knees, then I just feel really good. So I just do what I can. So thanks for letting me share.
Yes, thank you, Maya K. And before we get to Elaine T., I'll remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 37. The last paragraph, the fourth paragraph, our behavior is as absurd. Reading through that one paragraph only, and after Elaine, I'll take more names. Elaine T.
Hi, thanks,
on.
Mo.
You're welcome.
I couldn't imagine being like the jaywalker when I first came into these rooms, but then again, I was in such denial about everything that mostly I saw the alcoholic in the book. It wasn't until I came into these vision rooms that I realized, you know, I don't think like other people think. I think I've got this. And the minute I think that, even if it's a good thing, like, oh, okay, now I've got my routine down for my program, that I word kills me, you know, and I'm out doing something that I think is correct. And like I said, it's like the jaywalker. I could be, you know, running in front of a fire truck or whatever's coming down the road, because that's what I do. So I have to keep my head in this program. Thanks for this meeting, because it really helps. I listen every day and keep my thoughts in check, do my 10 step, most importantly, so that I realize my insane thinking or rationalization. And I'm so grateful for all your shares. I'm grateful for those of you who worked this meeting, and thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Elaine T. So I'll now open the lines up for more people who'd like to share.
Irene B.
Hey.
Shlomi Tana B.
Bonnie M.
Oh,
Eileen
B.
Christina J.
Bonnie M.
Help me. Whoa.
Christina J.
Shlomi Tana. Who was after Shlomi Tana B?
Bonnie M.
Matthew.
Bonnie M.
Matthew.
Irene B.
Beth U. Irene.
Christina J.
Christina J. I'll stop there. Okay, wait a minute. Christina J. and Irene. I didn't get your last initial, Eileen, but we'll get it.
B.
Okay, I have Eileen B., Shlomi Tana, Bonnie M., Beth U., Irene, it might be B., and Christina J. Eileen B., you'll get us started. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your service. I know that's overwhelming. And thank you to everybody on the line who share the life experience, their experience, strength, and hope. And by the way, I am Irene B.
Irene.
So you have me in there twice. Because once you
I do.
Me, yes.
All
so
right.
Just there one. Just one time. So
okay,
I'm a
thank
recovering.
You.
Thank you. I'm a recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I will say that my eating disorder has been jaywalker and rationalization and justification and all of that, and then some on steroids. And today is my 27th month of abstinence from all bulimic behaviors, and I'm so thankful for that. But what I have to share today is that I had neutrality of food, and then the jaywalking and the twisted thinking and the crazy ideas dropped up in my head, and I was faced with a situation with a huge mountain of a dessert that came home with me, and I live alone now, so basically I live alone, and that was not a good idea. Duh! Everybody's going on the line, duh! Right. Well, that's like jaywalking completely. Oh, yeah. I mean, and when I told my brother about it, he said, why is it necessary that you learn to eat something without going into your eating disorder? What's the point? Duh, here's a non-eating disorder person telling me, why would you do that? I mean, is it necessary to eat that for your life? What difference does it make whether you eat that or not? So now I don't have neutrality around the food, and I'm beginning to consider myself an emotional eater, not a compulsive overeater, because I'm not binging. But I am certainly overeating, and I certainly don't have neutrality around the food. And at nighttime, I get anxious and I eat. I don't binge, but I'm eating. You know, I'm entertaining myself. I don't have neutrality around the food. And yesterday, I told myself, I'm going to feel my feelings. And I'm not going to eat. And next thing I know, I'm eating. So I just need to revamp my program because I know that it worked before. But let me tell you, it's not worth losing it because getting it back is hard as hell. It's been 6 weeks since that experience, and it's taken all that time for me to realize that I have lost all neutrality around the food. And by the grace of God, I have this program that tells me, thank you, with that all down.
And thank you, Irene B. Shlomit Hana B. Good morning, Shlomit Hana.
Hi, this is Shlomit Hana B. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but there's loud noise in the background.
I apologize for the background noise. I'm outside. I'm going to get away from this person who is doing the mowing.
All right, that's better. That's better.
Didn't realize I was stepping right into that. I apologize. Okay. I'm Shlomit Hana B. Recovering one day at a time. And just thank you all for your service. It's wonderful to hear your voice. Thank you, everybody, for the shares and just for being on this line. And this paragraph of the Jaywalker, you know, really spoke to me this morning because what I heard in the paragraph was a progression of the disease of jaywalking. You know, first it started off as light fun, and then, you know, it became a little bit more necessary, and then more necessary. And with each progression, the consequences got worse. You know, first he got hurt a little bit, and then more, and then more, and more. And that's been my progression of my disease with the compulsive overeating. You know, after 11 and a half years of, for the most part, strong abstinence, you know, when I picked up, I really believed with all my heart that I was going to work my program in a different way and that I was going to be okay. And that my program had changed and I was changing and I just needed something different. And I see the progression in just 3.5 short months of my disease. You know, it's like the Jaywalker. It started off a little bit light, and it's gotten heavier and heavier and heavier. You know, each binge has gotten worse and worse and worse. And each time I've picked up, I've wanted the food more and more and more. And each time I've binged, I've been less and less and less able to handle my food on my own. It's just, you know, it's like the Jaywalker. Every time I'm running into that street with the food, it just becomes more and more abundantly clear how powerless I am over this disease, and that these binges or picking up one little thing, or, oh, just one chip, or, you know, just one little thing of chocolate, you know, I'll be able to handle it. Or, you know, it won't lead me to a binge this time. Or, okay, tomorrow, that's one of my favorites. Tomorrow I'll be able to do this. Just for today, I'm just going to, you know, just do what I want, and then I'm going to really start tomorrow. And it's all lies. It's all lies. And I just see how quickly just the disease progresses. And not only that, but the disease progressed 11 and a half years that I was abstinent. You know, thank God I was abstinent for 11 and a half years. But this time, thank you. My disease is much worse than it was 11 and a half years ago. So with that, it passed. Thank you.
And thank you, Shlomit Hana. Bonnie M., followed by Beth U. Bonnie M.?
Hi, I'm Bonnie J.M. from Arizona.
J.M. Hey.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bonnies. I got a smile on my face when I read this today because my favorite food used to be what I could get away with. And, I mean, I can remember just laying in bed watching a television show with my husband and having a bag of something at my side and being able to eat the whole thing without him even knowing. And at the time, that really excited me, and I thought, it was crazy behavior, but I never looked at it really as crazy behavior. I mean, the denial of the consequences were totally out of my brain when I was focused in on the excitement of getting away with something. And I think this started with me way back when I was 8 years old and used to be able to go to the store with my little allowance, and then I had a secret place where my friends and I would go, and we would eat our stash. And again, it was something I got away with because my folks would not have been okay with me eating junk food. And it's taken, and I've called that throughout this program gambling with food. And I come from a family of gamblers, and each time, you know, I'd try to get away with something, I was gambling. And it was in this program that I got more conscious and aware of what I was doing. And because for a long time, I never really thought about the consequences in connection with the gambling as I thought about the consequences in connection with what was wrong with me, but I'd never hooked it up that way. And it's been in this program that in this program, I call it a grief recovery program because we're always adding in something healthy and letting go of something that isn't healthy. And in this program, I've been able to let go of that. And believe me, that there is no greater excitement to me now than going to bed at night and knowing that when I put my head on that pillow, that I've had a good day. And the good day means that I've done my best to be in alignment with what my higher power wants for me. And there is no way in the world my higher power wants me to put unhealthy foods in my body. And anyway, I love this program. I love being a service in this program. And thank you for allowing me to share.
And thank you, Bonnie J.M. And next will be Beth U, followed by Christina J. Beth U?
Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Beth U. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Very grateful to be on the line today live. And thank you, Mo, for your service and everyone who's on the call today. I just wanted to comment on a few things in the paragraph. Our behavior is as absurd and incomprehensible with respect to the first drink. Or for us, the first bite. Those are strong words. Our behavior is absurd. It's incomprehensible. We cannot even comprehend why we would pick up the first bite after, you know, suffering the damage of compulsive overeating so many times over and over again. So this is a pretty, you know, stark paragraph in my opinion, and it's helping us identify in with the insanity of this disease. Because then it goes on to say, you know, as it describes his behavior, you would expect him, if he were normal, to cut it out. And it's so true. You would expect if we were normal, we would cut it out. We would put down the food. We would stop using food. But we are not normal. And this is not an attempt to shame us or exclude us. It's to help us identify in, to understand that we are not normal. And this is not within our control. And that's kind of what I wanted to share about at the very end. It says, he tells you he's decided to stop jaywalking or for us eating for good. We don't have that power. We don't have the luxury of deciding ourselves that we're going to stop. I've tried that over and over and over again to decide for myself, to declare it to others, to declare it on Facebook, to, you know, do everything I can to declare this. And it's not up to me. It's up to a power greater than myself that I have to surrender to. And once I admit that I'm powerless and make the decision to turn my will over to that higher power, then I've got a chance of having some freedom from this obsession, from the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And at the risk of sounding a little cheesy today, it is 4th of July here in the U.S., and it's a holiday that we celebrate independence, and I invite you to celebrate your independence from food, from this allergy, and from the obsession of the mind, and just reach out, call one of us. There's many, many of us who are recovered from this obsession, who are keeping the allergy at bay by abstaining from certain alcoholic foods. And I just really, really invite you to mark today to be the day that you're independent from this insanity, one day at a time through the help of others, and by seeking a power greater than yourselves, whatever that looks like, just surrender. And I'm so grateful today to be in this program. I'm grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Beth, And we'll have Christina J., and we may have a few minutes for someone after Christina. Christina J.
Hello, everybody. This is Christina J., and it's a great day for me because I am off work this morning, so I get to call. I haven't called in years. I've been listening to the meeting for quite some time, and yesterday I had to make a call to my sponsor, actually a text, and do something I didn't want to do, which was admit that I lost my abstinence yesterday. After 90 days of freedom, I picked up. I had to admit it. And I had no choice but to run in front of the car yesterday morning for some ease and comfort from my physical and mental state. And why? Because I was taught since birth to engage in something I like to call autopilot numb. When any kind of irritable, restless, discontent feelings come along, like Jim, who brushed off the little emotional irritations and then ended up in the whiskey in his milk. That's exactly what happened to me. I've been brushing off little irritations, dealing with big ones, but little ones, brushing them off, and they built up, and they became a giant volcano. So after 90 days, I found myself in a complete landslide of sanity. I found I had no choice but to reach for that first bite. You know, I'm not shamed or guilty, but I'm very sad. And I know today that I have to be very aware of even the smallest irritation and immediately make a 10-step call. If I keep things in, I'm mandated to take a first bite. I'm mandated, and that's what my very first sponsor and vision told me. And I've heard other people say it, I think Carlin G. You're mandated to take the first bite if you keep things in and you don't work an emotional program. I know how to work the food program. I don't really get tempted by food anymore, but I've let emotional buildup, build up in me. And the only way today that I realize that I can feel safe is to work program even harder on days when I feel good. When I feel peaceful and sane, I've got to work harder because there's no truly safe days for me. I've realized that after yesterday's. It was shocking to me that I found myself in that position after over 90 days. And the last caller said exactly what I was feeling, which is today's the 4th of July. I'm going to claim my independence from food, but especially emotional bondage, because I've found that in my recovery days, in my recovery years or months or whatever you want to call it since I've been in program, it's more the emotional that really drives me to the brink of myself. And I never learned how to handle my emotions since I was a little girl. It was always food that took care of it. And so now that I got the cravings down, you know, during this 90 days, to find myself in a position where the emotional buildup, just I had no choice. There was going to be no choice. I was going to go to that food that I knew was stashed away in my office from the previous person that had been there. And I should have gotten rid of it when I found it. There's no safe days. There's no safe days. Except if we stay close to higher power and our fellows and we reach out. So my sponsor was very kind, and I'm so grateful for that because I'm scared to death to let her know. So I thank everyone for this meeting. And I want to welcome calls, recovered or not. Love to hear from everyone, and I'll try to stay and give my name and number in the second part of the meeting. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina J. We have 1 minute if somebody would like
Judith
to.
Judith R.,
you're on. Judith, thank you.
Thanks, Mo. Judith R., recovered in Vermont gracefully. I just had a funny thought this morning. It was like he wasn't addicted to breaking his arms and breaking his back. He was addicted to the thrill when he could get away with it. So when he could jump in front of that car and not get hit, he had a huge adrenaline rush. And that's, he wasn't addicted to hurting himself. He was addicted to adrenaline. And it reminded me of a guy at my meeting, a friend who was 400 or 500 pounds. And when we got to this part of the book, he just laughed. He like derided the guy. He could not see any relationship between what he was doing and what the guy was doing. So I just love this story, and I love you all, and happy 4th of interdependence upon each other. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Judith R. That was absolutely perfect to close us out. Thank you all to all those who shared today, and to our people that gave service, Eileen M., Judy M., Kathy Jo P., Robin P., Darian K., and then those of you that are new on the line, please stay on after we stop the recording, because Nan K. will be taking your names and phone numbers, and Janice P.M. will be giving the announcements. So will Robin P. please close our meeting by reading page 164, A Vision for You.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Kinnelon, New Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Give freely, clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.